Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. CATS, champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, guys, welcome back into the Podcats. I am Kenny Colston. Joining me is Chris Littrell. Chris, tell everybody hi.
Hey, everybody.
So, I don't know about you, Chris, but I am fired up this week, and I'm fired up this week for one main reason. Football is finally here.
I've waited 9 months for this.
I don't know about you. I like basketball. Don't get me wrong. Love basketball. Love the championships. But I'm a football guy, and this is a big, big week for me.
Oh, yeah. College football, hands down, the greatest sport ever invented.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same page there. I don't know if we'll be in the same page the rest of this podcast, but we've started off well. And so hopefully, I hope our listeners are really juiced up about the football season. The Mark Stoops era has officially begun. You know, he's done a lot of good things, but it really matters when you get on the field and play games, as we've seen in the past. So now we're here. Western Kentucky University, this Saturday, 7 p.m. in Nashville. We're going to finally see what these guys can do.
It's put up or shut up time.
Exactly. But before we get to that, I want to talk about what I actually view as the bigger football news of the week, I guess you could say. Okay. And that has nothing to do with 2013. I mean, just put this whole year aside. It has to do with 2014. And that's when the rivalry game with the University of Louisville moves to the last game of the season. Now, this came out late last week, so we're probably the guys who have the final word on that, and I'm fine with that. I've been thinking about this all week long, and I tell you what, on the surface, I love the idea.
I do too.
And, you know, the reason why I love the idea, there's multiple reasons. We'll get through all of them. But most importantly, I don't know a single big rivalry game that is played within the first 3 weeks of the season.
It does take away from it when everybody's wearing shorts and T-shirts in the stands. It's just not doesn't have that football feel yet. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. Let's play Miami of Ohio in September and save the big games that count for when it's cold outside.
Exactly. So, also, the other thing that it does is Louisville officially moves to the ACC that year. And there's already three big SEC-ACC rivalries that weekend.
Right.
It's a perfect joining of that. And, of course, let's preface this by saying the conferences asked, both the ACC and the SEC asked for this move. As we know, Louisville was very much opposed to it. Kentucky seems to be, I don't know if you could say embracing it, but they're okay with it. No problem.
Yeah,
no harm, no foul, it seems like. But this is why I like this game. Number one, I think this is great for Kentucky. My first reason is it completely takes a whole heck of a lot of pressure off the Tennessee game.
That is very true. That is very true. That bitter rivalry game at the end of the year with the implications in the league, it's going to kind of change the focus of that game a little bit.
Not only, you know, we talked last week about how this year's Tennessee-Kentucky game, as it has for seemingly the last decade, is going to be a big factor in who makes a bowl game, probably.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Both teams will probably be playing for a bowl game. If Tennessee already has six wins, they're going to be playing for a better bowl game.
Right.
When you move that game, it takes a little bit off of that game. Now, it's still a rivalry game, and now we've broken that curse, that streak,
right, right,
or whatever you want to call
right.
it. But no longer can Tennessee say, beating Kentucky, not only do we beat the crap out of our rival in Kentucky in conference play, but they also get to go to a bowl game because of it. That's off the table.
Right.
So that's a big, big thing in order to keep the, you know, to not have another 30-year streak where we lose to Tennessee. So that's huge. I like that. It also Not only will that happen, but Vanderbilt and Tennessee will now take the last weekend. That's going to be just as big as a rivalry game.
Oh, yeah.
So it kind of takes a little bit of the immense pressure that the Tennessee game had off the table. Not that Louisville's any less of an opponent. I'm just saying out-of-conference rivalry, in-conference rivalry, it's just
two different
dynamic.
Right, two different things.
Secondly, I firmly believe this amplifies the game because, as we said, no real rivalry game is played in the first 3 weeks.
Right.
And I hear all the complaints, all the U of L fans, all the haters, they're all saying, listen, UK U of L will never be a national audience that late in the season. The reason why it's great early on is because there's no other rivalry games.
Right, right.
And there's a reason for that, which we can get into. But more importantly, you know, I don't believe that UK U of L automatically will no longer be on regional or national TV because of this move. Because you look at this, and all of a sudden I see a perfect made-for-TV thing right here between the two conferences. You have all these basketball showdowns. You've got the Big Ten ACC.
Challenge, yeah.
Yeah. You've got, what is it, the SEC, Big 12, mm-hmm. Big East. You know, they all mess around. Okay, let's start in football. Yeah. ESPN is basically going to have the rights to the SEC network. And they're also heavily involved in the ACC. Right now, this year, Kentucky-Louisville is playing at noon on an early Saturday.
Right.
How many people nationally? Number one, you get no one on the West Coast in a noon game. No
right.
one.
Right.
They've just gone to bed from going to the clubs.
Right.
So
right.
they're not staying up to watch UK U of L and making it.
Not getting up at 9 o'clock in the morning.
No. Because they just left the hottest nightclub with Kanye West and Miley Cyrus. And so anyways, you've completely negated that section of the country. So already, this is not a prime time game.
No.
Noon on a Saturday.
No.
Say what you will, because Kentucky's not good or what. I know it's been played in better venues, but recently I think the best we could get was 4 p.m. on Labor Day, you know.
And it was the only game on all day.
Exactly. So anyways, it's already not a marquee TV matchup. This could perfectly set up to be the start of the middle of the SEC ACC football challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing for this game to kind of ride the coattails of the other big SEC ACC matchups that are going to be played on that day. It's going to get some attention just for the simple fact that it is going to be played on the same day as Florida State or right. South Carolina Clemson. And it's just going to, you know, people are going to be interested in it for that reason alone.
I mean, I could see it lining up perfectly. Let's play Georgia Tech or UK U of L at the noon game, you know, put it on ESPN. That's fine. Kick them off. That's
right.
Where we're at now. You know, maybe Georgia Tech, ESPNU at 4 o'clock. Then you get Clemson, South Carolina, ESPN2 at 6, and you leave, you know, Florida State for ESPN at 8 or 9 o'clock. And
yeah.
you rotate those on that ESPN family of networks depending on who's good that year.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. And you're going to get those, you know, what I'd call residual viewers who are either tuning in before the game they want to watch or they just got done watching Florida State and now Kentucky U of L is coming on, and they're going to end up watching.
I mean,
it.
It's the last week of the season.
Right.
If it's Clemson and Florida State, you know, but one team needs a win to make the championship game, you're telling me Clemson fans won't view that?
Sure,
if
sure.
it's Louisville-Clemson, they won't view the Kentucky-Louisville game and say, go Kentucky, beat Louisville, so that they get
exactly.
in the ACC championship
exactly.
game?
The ripple
they will.
Effect of that
exactly.
game. Plus, oh, I'm sorry, Ken.
No, go ahead.
If you're a true college football fan, it's that last game, or I'm sorry, that last Saturday of the season. Who's not going to be watching as much college football as you possibly can? You know, it's the end of the year. You better get it all in while you can.
This is bad for Louisville, and I'll tell you why. I've heard a lot of screams about this. They hate this idea. And this is what they're not saying. Kentucky is not good right now, but I firmly believe that a lot of Louisville fans think they will be good in the near future. They hate this because this potentially puts a loss at the end of their schedule every year. It's going to be really hard to get – this is non-conference, so they could still get in the ACC championship game, but it could wreck their BCS hopes every year.
Yes.
It could help. It could wreck any national championship hopes, which I don't think they have, but they think they have.
Yeah, we'll see.
So this puts a quality opponent out of conference and could absolutely wreck them. When you can lose to Kentucky at the beginning of the year, Louisville could run the table in the ACC and still be considered a top-five team. Teams that lose that last week of the season, they tumble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all hear about how it's better to lose early than it is late.
So, you know, all these reasons is why I think it's great. I think it's great that the conference asked for it, so that means Louisville can't point to Kentucky and say they're scared. It doesn't give Louisville all summer long to prepare for UK, now, or most of the summer in this case. I mean, are they really sure, they play Ohio. I'm sure they're doing walkthroughs. But Kentucky is basically one of their top opponents this season, and that's bad because we're a 2-10 team. But you look at that, you look at what, maybe Temple and Cincinnati. So moving Kentucky to the back of the schedule, immense pressure on Louisville, whereas they've basically gotten a free ride. I love this. Love this, love this, love this.
And I'll tell you one more reason that I like it, too. It's this game is going to be even more fresh in everyone's minds when the basketball game happens. It's going to be about a month apart. Seems like UK and U of L have been playing each other in basketball right around New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. This game going to be about a month before that, so there's going to be fresh wounds.
That, exactly. Well, and you know, I did see this Mark Story, Herald Leader columnist. He made the suggestion that you should bring the women's basketball, men's basketball, and football games played on all weekend. No.
Impossible.
No. Michael Scott impression. No. No, that's awful.
Women's That's what she said.
I mean, just here's what you have to do. The basketball game stands on its own. This is legitimizing the football game. The women's basketball has turned into quite a rivalry. Mm-hmm. But, okay, let's just entertain that thought. Put them all on the same weekend. I don't think either university is going to allow the other to completely host a weekend.
Right.
UK is never going to say Louisville can get the football, basketball, and both basketball games in a weekend because UK gets zero revenue out of that.
Right.
The other thing is, okay, you're splitting them up. It makes almost no sense. I know it's 70 miles. That's it. But it almost makes no sense to bus the women's team to Louisville, bus the football team to Lexington, and go back and forth. And the two, how do you split it? That's just a nightmare. So just leave them as they are. The women, I think, have an agreement to play in early December in women's basketball. This lines up perfectly. You will literally probably have 2 weeks maximum between each game, a month, I guess,
yeah,
in the case of the football to men's basketball. This is great. I love the move. Do not put them on the same weekend. Never.
Could you imagine having to watch the football and basketball game in the same day? Would your mind be ready to explode by the end of the night?
What bar would be left intact after that?
How many arrests would be made?
I know. No one wants this. Jefferson, you know, the Louisville Police Department, the Lexington Police Department, no one wants this. You know, it was a novel idea, but listen, let's just move one game, move the football game, and let's all be happy about it. Now let's get to Western Kentucky, because that's really what the focus is this week. I will tell people, eventually we will talk about basketball, but I don't know that there's a lot of basketball news, so I don't want people to think we're just a football podcast, but we're going to give football its due credit.
Yeah, it's football. The program has earned its place here to get a little press.
Well, I don't know if it's earned it. It earned it at one point, but we're going to give it its press. Hopefully it earns it its press.
The coaching staff
there we go.
Has earned it.
So let's move to basically what I call the rest of this podcast is going to be about, and that's going to be about the Western UK game this Saturday. I'm actually a little sad that the series is basically going to end. I kind of like the idea of UK playing in Nashville, especially when we're not going to bowl games.
Right.
But, you know, I understand that there's probably not a lot left for UK in this series to do, especially now that Western went to Lexington and beat them. Usually when you pay a team to come play you and they beat you, you don't renew that contract. It's kind of a slap in the face.
Right.
So we're going to start this off with what I hope to be a recurring segment, a recurring thought here, and that's the stat of the week. And this week's stat of the week, since it's the very first one, we're going to start with, I guess what you would figure is the first numeral in the line. And that numeral is zero, because that's how many openers Bobby Petrino lost at Louisville or Arkansas. He never lost a single opening game. Now, at Louisville, that had to do because he was beating Kentucky every year. At Arkansas, it was because he was beating cupcakes every year. That being said, zero losses in a single opener. And if the Mark Stoops era wants to get off on the right foot, they're going to have to change that number to one. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. Going to have to put an end to a streak.
So that's the stat of the week. Keep that in mind. Zero. The number of times Bobby Petrino has lost an opener. That has to change. Now, Chris, I think you have a similar or related stat of the week.
I do have one that will tie into yours. My stat of the week is 4-1, and that is Bobby Petrino's all-time record against Kentucky. His four wins were season openers against the Cats when he was at Louisville.
And I don't remember many of them or any of them being close.
One of them was 59-28.
Yeah, that's not close.
Yeah, no, that is not. I think 28-0. I think the first year it might have been pretty close. But, yeah, I mean, he had the ball rolling, you know. But the last time Bobby Petrino faced the Cats was in Lexington in 2008 as head coach at Arkansas, a 21-20 Wildcat victory.
So we have this. We're talking about breaking streaks, and that's what UK football is all about these last couple of years. We have broken the streak against Bobby. Really, we're on the winning side of it right now. So that's a good. But 4-1, that's UK's record against Bobby Petrino. That's going to have to move to 4-2.
Yeah.
So anyways, think about those. 4-1 against Petrino, zero losses in home openers. So based on those two stats, when people tell me this is a cakewalk, UK is going to beat Western 42-17, I'm thinking those two stats make me think, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold on. I mean, one, Bobby Petrino can coach. Two, he doesn't seem to lose openers. So I think it's still an uphill climb. But we've already said, and we'll get into this more, I think we both think UK will win this, and they should, but it's not going to be easy, and it's definitely going to be interesting. Chris, I think you have a little message for our listeners here. Something going on. We're talking to UK U of L game. So what's going on with the UK U of L game?
Yeah, I'm going to plug something here. Stop by Accudent in the Highlands. Our friends over there are running a little promotion. Take some canned food items over there, and for every item you take, you will get to grab a baseball bat and smash a car. They're going to have a car over there painted half red, half blue. If you're a Cat fan, take a couple canned goods over there, and you get two whacks at the red side of that car with a ball bat. And that's going to be going on the week of the UK U of L game. So from Monday, September 9th through Friday, September 13th, head on over there to Accudent in the Highlands with some cans. Maybe take your batting glove. Maybe go to the cage. Get a few practice swings in beforehand. And take out some of your frustrations on the car.
All I'm going to say is I hope it's not like 69-cent can week at Kroger, because I might just dump a whole shelf in there. If I get to swing a bat and beat down a U of L car, I mean, I might take a dozen cracks. So definitely, you know, we'll pray that it's 69-cent can week at Kroger and just go to town, you know, for a good cause.
I've got a nice can of corn in the cupboard right now.
You're saving it for this part right here.
That is very true.
All right, guys. I think we're going to take a quick little break. When we get back, we'll do a little bit more breakdown of the Western Kentucky game. Don't turn off the podcasts. All right. We're back now. Kenny Colston.
Chris Littrell.
And we've been talking a little bit about the UK U of L moving game, football game moving. We've been talking about stats of the week. Let's move to another key segment, and that will be our key players of the week. Now, it's going to be interesting. I think Western returns a lot more of their players than what Kentucky does. That could be good on for us offensively, at least in my mind, because last year's offense was pretty pitiful. But I'm going to start with my one player of the week. We'll alternate, because
okay.
I think we both have two players of the week. I'm actually going to start on the defensive side for Kentucky,
okay,
because that's going to be their strength, in my opinion. And in my mind, the player of this week will be Bud Dupree. I know that's not a shocker. We're talking about probably the best returning defensive player we've got, the other one being Avery Williamson. Bud Dupree, I think he's going to be the player of the week because he's returning. He knows these guys. He was here last year when they lost to Western. He was here the year before that when they eked out a victory against Western, but basically were embarrassed.
Right.
And with the margin of victory and how they played, I think he's going to carry a little bit of the hate. I think now that he's not the only defensive, I mean, the defensive line looks to be stacked. That actually looks to be an SEC defensive line up there.
It's the best line we've had in a few years.
So I think based on all that, with him being the most experienced, I know Za'Darius Thomas is going to be a beast, but he's kind of nursing a little bit of an injury. I know they say he's going to play. There's apparently a few injuries in the secondary. So I think it's really going to be on Bud Dupree. He's really going to have to get some sacks, get some pressure. Even if he's not getting the sacks, if he's creating pressure and Za'Darius gets the sacks, that's going to be key to me. So I think on the defensive side, it's definitely got to be Bud Dupree. Now, I could take every week and alternate him and Za'Darius. Maybe someone, I hope someone else steps up and we can give someone else besides those two and Avery the player of the week on the defensive side. But for right now, I'm going to stay tried and true, and I'm going to go with Bud Dupree.
Hard to argue that. The defensive line is going to be key in this game, as I will elaborate on when I get to my key players of the week.
Well, let's hear your first one.
Okay. My first one is going to be on the offensive side of the ball for the Hilltoppers, and that is their stud running back, Antonio Andrews. Had about 1,700 rushing yards last year. I think they have three offensive linemen coming back from last year's team. He's going to be the key because they're going to give him the rock several times, and it's going to be up to Kentucky's defense to stop him because he's their most talented player on offense. Petrino is obviously going to throw the ball a lot, and we all know about his passing game. But Antonio Andrews is going to be the key to Western winning this game. If he doesn't have a huge game, Western, I don't even think.
Can Kentucky stop him? Can they contain him?
I think they can. The defensive line is solid. I have a lot of faith in Coach Stoops right now. He's the defensive guy. You know, we brought him in. Defense is his forte. And right off the bat here, we're going to see his game plan. We're going to see what he's going to do to stop Antonio Andrews.
I'm going to move to the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to stick with UK in my second pick. My second pick is going to be Raymond Sanders. And once again, this is not – I wouldn't think you would call this a surprise. I mean, the guy's a senior, he's returning and everything else, but this is what Kentucky needs. Kentucky needs steady participation, steady play from the guys who are returning, who's been here for a while. I hope things go well with Ryan Timmons, these wide receivers. Whoever plays quarterback, I know supposedly both guys are, but they might ride the hot hand. Based on all those factors in offensive line, it's really going to come down to Raymond Sanders. He's going to have to break some big runs. He's going to have to be steady. If he's not, if UK can't get that running game going, if he's not opening holes in the secondary and on the defensive line and everything else and just creating chaos, UK could have a really tough time. I mean, we have a lot of talented receivers on the roster, but they're young or they're new. They're junior college transfers. It's going to be up to Raymond Sanders to get this thing going. He's been here just like Bud Dupree. I hope he has a little chip on his shoulder and that he wants some revenge. And I really do hope UK beats Western 42-17. And if Raymond Sanders goes off, that may be a possibility, but it's going to completely rely on him.
I agree. And what it comes down to for me, Kenny, is this. Look, this is an SEC team versus a Sun Belt team. Kentucky should be able to line up and bust holes open that you can drive a car through. If not...
What about motorcycles with administrative assistants on the back?
Is there a sidecar involved?
Well, not with Petrino.
Okay. That is true. That is true. sorry. But anyway...
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean... If Kentucky's not going to be able to blast holes open for Sanders to get through against a Sun Belt defense, well, then they're going to be in serious trouble. So if that doesn't happen this weekend, I'm going to be disappointed.
Let's get to your last player of the week.
All right. I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball for the Toppers, and I'm going to go with former President Andrew Jackson.
That guy's still alive?
This incarnation of President Jackson is the Sun Belt preseason defensive player of the year. He had 120 tackles last year, give or take. He's a tough kid. He's a junior, and he is going to be all over the field for them. And the Sanders-Jackson matchup will be an interesting one to watch.
Let me ask you, since we discovered last week you're a big fan of the MAC,
would I love it.
Andrew Jackson be defensive player of the year in the MAC?
Quite possibly.
So he's good. He's not just – I mean, just because he plays in the Sun Belt isn't the reason why he's getting that designation. That's what I'm trying to go
at. He's a solid player. He's a little undersized maybe. I don't know if he could start for many SEC teams. But I think, yeah, he would probably be a starter on any MAC team.
So this is an interesting dynamic. I mean, because clearly you're talking about a defensive end and a running back, all-purpose guy really for Western on that you picked out. So there's some containment there. And then a running back, linebacker. So these are the key matchups to watch. Mm-hmm. I mean, Raymond Sanders, President Jackson, Bud Dupree, and they're all-purpose, all-everything back there at Western. This is going to be really what the game comes down to.
We're looking forward to a Smash Mouth game here, aren't we?
I really like Smash Mouth game. That's SEC football. And,
right.
And I really hope that this year, at some point in the game, whether it's a sack or something, I really hope ESPN picks up a UK player, if this is a blowout, saying, yeah, we're SEC. We're back. We're SEC. Do not talk trash about us anymore. That would be awesome.
Please provide us with a little legitimacy.
Yeah, something here. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get down to prediction.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go first. What do you actually think is going to happen on Saturday?
Okay. Now, I've thought about this. And
I hope so.
That's my job. This time last week, I wasn't as confident as I am now. But after kind of researching the game a little bit, look, it comes down to this. This is an SEC team versus a Sun Belt team. Western had a great year last year, but they finished 7-6, and they lost to a somewhat mediocre MAC team in a bowl. So it's not like we're going into this thing playing USC or Texas or something like that. It's a Sun Belt team.
Thank God we're not playing one of those big schools.
Man, well, hey, we'll see what happens at the end of the year. But anyway, prediction-wise, look, I just think that Kentucky has more talent on their roster. This is an SEC team. I think they're going to be coached better than they have been in the last couple years. There's a revenge factor. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think UK prevails, and I'm going to say somewhere in the 24-17.
So you think it would be a little bit of a defensive game?
I do. I don't see both teams scoring a whole lot of points. Two new systems. We'll see what the air raid can do. And then, obviously Petrino. But Western's going to have a new quarterback coming in. Kentucky's quarterback situation hasn't really been solidified. So, yeah, first game of the year also. It seems like defense is always a little bit more advanced at the beginning of the year than the offense. So, yeah, I mean, 24-17, that might be a high-scoring game. Maybe more in the 2014-2017 range. But, yeah, I think Kentucky squeaks out a victory by, field goal or a touchdown.
Well, I agree that it's going to be a close game. I think there's going to be a little bit more scoring, and this is actually going to be bad for UK's defense. And I believe that because I don't have much confidence in the secondary yet. And outside of Avery Williamson, I don't even know if we have linebackers, to be honest with you. I mean, usually you have a couple good ones, but UK really has, through attrition and other things, just the linebacking core is severely lacking. So that being said, the other thing is that Bobby Petrino can coach. And in my mind, he's always done more with less. And so between his high-octane offense that he runs that seems to always be a well-oiled machine, and with his ability to do more with less, you've got the air raid offense and with Kentucky. And so I think Kentucky will put points on the board as well. Now you'll see some missed routes and probably some interceptions because receivers run the wrong routes and some drop balls and everything else. But I still think they can put points on the board. And you might even see a defensive touchdown or special teams for Kentucky. So those two factors, I think it'll be fairly close game at the end. I'm not sure whether that's UK is going to get out to a lead or they're going to slug each other the whole game. But at the end of the day, I actually think it's going to be 35-31.
Wow.
I think there's going to be some points on the board.
Wow.
Hal Mumme's air raid offense could put points on the board. And it took guys that didn't really have much production their first year and made them into superstars. I mean, Craig Yeast really blew up in the air raid offense. And not that he was bad before, but and I think you'll see that with DeMarco Robinson, I think Timmons and these guys, but you're going to have some miscues. And because you'll have miscues, there's always that chance for a pick six or something else and a fumble. So you just never know. I think a 35-31 game will be kind of exciting.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a little nerve-wracking because, like you said, it is a Sun Belt team. But it should be interesting overall. And at the end of the day, I hope that Bobby Petrino gets on his motorcycle and rides off into the sunset and we never have to see him again. That being said, I do think he will have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And I don't know that he's really letting on this week about that or people are asking him. But I think he really wanted the UK job. And I think he thought he was a real candidate for that job. Of course, he got snubbed, didn't even get an interview. And that plays. I mean, for as much as the man says he may be changed or not changed, football and football coaches is all about ego.
Oh, yeah.
And Bobby Petrino, more than anybody else, has an ego. So this is a team who wouldn't give him a chance, who made him go to a Sun Belt school because of a mistake he made, and I think he wants revenge.
Oh, and every week is an audition for Bobby Petrino. He is not going to stay at Western. If he has success this year, the first team from a slightly bigger conference that comes calling, he is gone.
Well, let's talk about that real quick, because USA Today had a story about that. And apparently, if he leaves this first year, he has to pay $350,000.
A $1.3 million buyout, is that correct?
Yeah, and he gets paid something like $850,000.
Yeah, so if he leaves, he will have paid to coach this year.
So you think he'll actually leave in a year? I think that clause keeps him there for 1 year.
You think? Oh, he's got the money to pay it off, I think. I don't think he would hesitate. He's a weasel. He is the definition of a weasel. He would be out of there so fast it would make their head spin.
Well, maybe you're correct. I tell you what, Chris, I'm just about ready to play the game.
Oh, I am beyond ready.
So I know we're not going out there. I think in our wildest dreams we wish we could. You know, maybe we can suit up, play linebacker, but I'm only about 5'10". I don't think that's SEC linebacker size. So
yeah, my better days are behind me.
Okay. Well, on that note then, let's give one more pitch about this promotion that's going on. I think it's a really good cause, and I'm ready to get my Wood baseball bat out for it. So tell us a little bit more about what's going on.
Yeah, Accudent and Highlands. Stop by there before the game, Monday, September 9th through Friday, September 13th. Bring some canned goods. For every can you bring, you will get one whack at a car painted half red, half blue. If you're a Cards fan, you know, maybe bring a can or something like that. If you're a Cats fan, you
bring
know,
20.
Yeah, bring a bunch. I mean, you get a whack at this car for every can you bring. It'll be fun. So that's at Accudent in the Highlands. And look forward to seeing you all there. It's a good cause.
Yeah, so wait till Kroger. You got a couple weeks. Wait till Kroger puts all their canned goods on sale for 59 cents. And, you know, then we can load up for a good cause. On that note, I think we'll be back next week. You got one more thing, Chris?
I was just going to say, that's for the Dare to Care food.
Yeah,
bank.
So that's perfect. I mean, you're not just donating canned goods to just any old place.
The guys at Accudent aren't just going to take them home and be living off your green beans for the next 2 weeks.
Exactly. Dare to Care, that's a great cause. You get to take quite a few hits on a car that's decorated in U of L. I can't think of a better reason to donate. I'm sure there are better reasons, but that's a great reason to donate canned goods.
Yeah, it's a good cause, tied in. It's fun. Yeah, I'll be there.
So, anyways, on that note, I think it's time to play the game. I think we're done here for this week. We'll be back next week. And, you know, I think we just need to ride this out by saying, go Cats.
Go Cats.